Welcome to the Kentucky Derby Moments podcast on the Racing Biz Radio. Quick note of thanks to our sponsors, the Maryland Horse Breeders Association, Delaware Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association, Maryland Jockey Club, Facig Tipton & Company, Virginia Equine Alliance and the Virginia Thoroughbred Association, and the Maryland Horse Industry Board. Thanks to all. On these podcasts during the coming week, we'll be looking into some people's fondest memories, big wagers, or other Kentucky Derby moments that they recall. In today's Derby Moments podcast, we talk with Keith Fustel, who tells us what it's like to be the Equibase chart caller as 20 horses turn for home in the Kentucky Derby and 160,000 fans go wild.
All right, Keith, so you've been going down to the Derby now. How long is it with Equibase?
Since 2009. I think this will be, what, my eighth? Yeah, eighth
okay.
Derby. Yeah.
Okay, and obviously you're paying attention to the Derby for a lot longer than that.
Sure.
So what, what's either a memory, a moment, a betting score, anything that stands out to you?
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, I've been following races for a long, long time since I've... in my early teens, and you know, just always look forward to it at the house and everything. You know, Jim McKay, who was just great, we'd all gather around and watch it each and every year. And as I got older and got a little bit more betting, sure, I mean, I've never really had any huge score at the Derby. Unfortunately, I've hit a couple decent, you know, $2,000-$3,000 hits there. Probably my biggest was Animal Kingdom. Believe it or not.
That was a good one.
Yeah, in 2011. What was he, close to 18, 19 to 1 or whatever. I don't know his final odds. But, yeah, it was a horse just that particular year. You know, usually don't like horses coming in off of the Turfway race and looking at it. But just the way that he won it and figured, you know, Graham was just, he was going there on a mission. That he wasn't going in there just to, you know, take a shot. He legitimately thought he had a shot, it looked like, and just liked the way the horse was coming into the race. And, yeah. I remember calling a chart, and you know, it's such a big field, and we're up on the roof, and there's so many people in your ear, and you're trying to concentrate, and you know, you see him make the move, and get the lead, and then you're trying to get through the field through your stretch call, like, did he win? You're like wondering who won. You got to look back, but no, that was good. So that from a gambling standpoint, that was probably you know, my best, you know, gambling moment, but you know, just from an odd thing. Well, I guess my first Derby was going down and working for Equibase and getting the call and say, hey, we want you to come down. You know, that was a bit of, you know, actually felt like a little privilege that they looked upon me to kind of go down and help the crew. We've got a great group of guys that work down there. Jack Valentine, who's since retired, and Steve Peary and Tom Rentz and Chuck Scarabelli and Arnie Metz, all those guys that are part of our group that work each and every year. And now Arnie's son, Matt, is helping out down there. But mind that bird, that first year, 2009. You know, I'm up there. We've never had to call a 20-horse field. It was a 19-horse field, if I remember that day. And, oh, man. You know, we work on a strategy when we call the chart there. One of us will call front. Well, we'll call the whole field the first couple calls, but the toughest call in racing ever, any day of the year, is the mile call in the Derby where they head to the quarter pole and you're trying to get through that field. So what we do there is one of us takes, I took the front of the pack, like front to middle, and then Chuck Scarabelli took middle to back, and that's how we do it. We take photos, and now they have tracks and everything, but we still double check and triple check everything. So just getting through that, the heart pumping, you know, the binocular shaking, the building shaking.
The building, yeah.
Yeah, and I've caught thousands of races, but that was just, you know, that was something that I lived with me. And, you know, it was an off track and making the call. And you know, it was pretty smooth through the first couple. And Scarabelli, Chuck warned me about that mile call in the Derby. He says, Keith, it's going to look like the windshield wipers are just going as fast as they can in front of you because everybody's moving. And it was. I mean, like I say, the binoculars are shaking. Horses are all making their move. You know, the leaders are dropping back. The closers are coming. I get through the field, you know, get through what I need to. So I said, Chuck, you know, I got through, I think, 8 or 9 horses. And Chuck's like, get first 7 or 8. I'll get the rest, no problem. So when we had the pictures. So they're coming to the eighth pole, and I'm getting ready to do the stretch call. And, you know, I mean, I've studied all the horses. I'm like, God, be kidding me. This horse is in front. You know, I didn't, and when I called it, I'm like, you know, I'm going through the numbers and I knew who it was. And I'm like, no, there's no way. I said, I botched the stretch call. I said, this is great. I go back. It was really, you know, then it go by and we get to the wire. I get through the stretch call and then go to the wire. It was mine, that bird. It was just, you know, it was a muddy track in the silks, and it was really wasn't easy navigating through that entire field. But just seeing that horse slip through along the rail with Calvin Burrell and then draw off. Yeah, but, you know, he came back and ran a great race in the Preakness.
He did.
You know, got in trouble and wanted to get beat about a length to Rachel Alexander. So,
and then he probably would have won the Belmont. Yeah. He made a premature move.
Yeah, but that was one. I mean, from a work standpoint, I've never been just I didn't say I was going to unravel, but just, you know, nerve-wracking. And each and every year it's gotten easier. You get used to it. You know, it's probably like a guy facing major league hitting and pitching for the first time. Right. You know, you step in the batter's box and it can be overwhelming, but we got a great team down there. But good Derby. So I always tell everybody, if you get a chance, if you're a sports fan, do it once at least.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a tough sell. You know, some people you get there and it could be overwhelming as a fan too. It's such a grandiose experience and a lot of things going on, but I love it to go watch the people. Unfortunately, we don't get to celebrate as much. We're in there working. It is, you know, they call it the greatest 2 minutes, you know, in sports, and I call it like the most agonizing probably hours a chart caller could ever have.
Yeah, you how call, long does it take you, you to put together?
You know, I mean, we, you know, it depends on how much trouble is in the race. But with the Derby, there's always going to be trouble. I think it was 2 years ago. I think I had 15 trouble comments, 15 horses with trouble comments in that race, and it, you just come down. We've gotten it. We've got a pretty good system. We want to, you know, be as precise as we can. We get the Derby chart itself out with the margins and the mutual information, I think, in a pretty good, you know, time frame. And then it's just, hey, be a little patient. We've got to watch this rerun over and over and over and over again and watch each and every horse. And we're trying not to miss anything. Mm-hmm. And then the verbiage, you just, it ends up being like War and Peace, but you can't, you know, you just try to be not concise, but, you know, fluid, you know, make it a good read for the handicapper. I don't want to use anything super over the top, but just make sure it's accurate and we gather all the trouble, you know, because mm-hmm. that's our biggest thing. It's stress. I mean, we're here for the better. We're here for the gambler. Right. So we want to give the right note. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Now, do you go in like going in this year? Are you going in with kind of, will you have handicapped the race and be going in with the idea, like, I think these horses will
yeah,
be here
that's
kind of stuff?
Yes, that's a good point. I mean, you definitely want to kind of get an idea. Things kind of end up going out of the window when the gates open, that first 16th of a mile, you see all of a sudden everybody jockeying for position, horses down on the rail being pinched. But you do. You want to get an idea of the flow, who's the speed, who's the deeper closers, what can we look forward to throughout the course of the race. And I'm making notes into my recorder as we're going through it constantly, and that helps speed up the process. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure I get everything that maybe the camera shot didn't get. Now with the help of the overhead shot, we'll look at the NBC shot, we'll look at everything we can to try to get the troubles. But yeah, and I'll probably start Monday or Tuesday, really kind of sitting down, studying the silks, you know, looking at the horses, the color of the horses, any markings that they may have, just to kind of familiarize myself with everybody. And then when the post draw comes, we'll work the numbers with the horses and their silks and everything like that. So so when they kind of, I can just look at something and know, hey, that's Gunrunner. All right, that's Nyquist, and it everything just jives quickly. But it's easy to come undone a little bit in that race, no doubt about it.
Yeah. Anything in particular you're expecting? We're a week out now.
No.
Anything you're expecting
this particular year? It's amazing. It's just, to me, it's like there's not that huge buzz. There's not a buzz horse really, which is kind of tough. Me for being up here, I'm used to being a Pimlico and getting that sense, hey, we're there, just positioned and ready to move forward. It's Triple Crown, you know, time. It's Derby time and Preakness time. But no, I'm just kind of going to settle in. Nothing has really struck me yet, handicapping-wise. There's a few horses I like, a few outsiders. I'll try and narrow it down to 7 or 8 horses, and we'll go from there from a betting process. And hopefully, I don't know how much I'll invest. I usually don't bet a ton. So, but no. But this year is a little odd that there's just not that not that vibe, you know. You don't have it about you know, any particular horse. It's a difficult field. I mean, there's just not preliminary looking at it. There's not a ton separating 10 or 12 horses, in my opinion. There's a few I'd really be shocked if they kind of hit the board. But other than that, from a handicapping point, you know, it's wide open. Yeah.
All right, Keith Fustel, thank you so much.
No problem.
For more Derby moments and for more on the Kentucky Derby all week long, check us out at The Racing Biz, www.theracingbiz.com, the independent voice for Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great week.